Good morning, everyone, or good evening or afternoon, depending on your time zone.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Paul.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Well, we're waiting for everyone. We're going to have a relatively light call today. I received notification for a number of people who are out or unavailable, mostly due to the Labor Day holiday in the U.S. So I'm going to spend the focus of today's call on preparing for the joint architecture use case meeting later this week. And I expect it to be a relatively short call compared to our other ones. I see people are joining, so I'll give everybody another minute or two. Okay, we are at 3 minutes after, and I see the number of joins is slowing, so why don't we get started? As a reminder, we have a joint meeting with the Architecture Committee later this week on Thursday, and I'd like to spend some time today preparing for it, talking through information that we might need from the architecture committee to adjust from the use case committee to adjust the architecture, or if there are any suggestions that we have for the use case committee for their work. I'd like to prepare for that as well. While we get started, I'd like to begin by reviewing our last meeting. We sent over a number of questions for the use case committee, and we did get some answers posted on the wiki over the last couple of weeks. However, they're all related to the enterprise VCPE use case. We asked about new features, including underlays, and that was one of the things that the VCPE use case group did call out, and they made a proposal on the last meeting with two new elements. One is the PCE, the path calculation element, and another one, as they called it, was NAI, Network Artificial Intelligence, to support network management and traffic scheduling, and also QoS and traffic prediction. We don't have any similar response from any of the other use cases, such as 5G. And one of the questions that I think we've been asking, is Alex on the bridge? I don't see him. I know Alex has brought up several times, is we want to go beyond a collection of use cases in the future to a collection of capabilities that get exposed by the use case. So we've been asking if there are similar components that can be used for the different use cases. What we have in response was just for the enterprise VCPE use case. And the expectation is that we can reuse components from the residential VCPE. But again, we don't have visibility into how this affects some of the other use cases. For technical debt for gaps, we have supporting PNFs in SDNC. And I think this, again, is related back to VCPE. And here's the business drivers and capabilities of the use cases. It's for the enterprise service provider to deploy enterprise-based VCPE for enterprise to data center. The remaining questions
So one question, Chris, on
yes,
this,
Vimal.
One question you have in item number 7, if there are gaps in SDNC to support PNF fully, I think it might be a good idea to support or document those gaps so that we understand what would it take to address those gaps rather than concluding that we need a new controller, because as we add more controller and more component, it will increase the complexity of the platform. It will have more, code base that we have to support. So I think we need to be a little careful rather than just jumping to conclusion that we need it, yet another controller.
I completely agree. To be clear, the responses on this, the questions here are from the architecture subcommittee. The responses are from the use case subcommittee. So just to set context to what we're seeing here, these are the use case subcommittee answers that we discussed last time. I think that's definitely something that we can push back on or discuss when we have our meeting later this week. Are there other ways to achieve the same thing?
I think going forward, Chris, it will be a good idea that we, whenever we propose something new, we want to document that these are the new requirements that need to be supported and why the existing, whether it's a water module, SO, SDC, or DCAE, is not adequate and cannot be enhanced to meet those requirements, or will be more challenging to do that, and therefore introducing a new module makes sense. So we need to start telling everyone to think that way. I just don't say, let's have one more module.
Yes, I think that's fair. And I think that's what we're trying to get to is the level of detail of what are the requirements coming from the use cases. They're considering several different use cases, but we only have one set of answers here. So I think that may be something that we want to push back on the committee. You gave us some complete solutions in a couple of places. Vimal, you called out one, which was right here, supporting three-party controllers. They also added two new...
Yeah, I had the same question about network artificial intelligence. Should that be an analytic microservice running on DCAE, or do we need to have a separate module that has a separate copy of data? And if that's the case, why do we, is that the best thing to do? What are the challenges in using a microservice running on DCAE, whether it's central DCAE or edge DCAE? And would that work? Go ahead. Yeah, somebody had another comment?
I think we were just picking up background noise.
Yeah. So Chris, your analysis is right. In all three pieces, we have PCE, NAI, and the controller piece. We should ask people to give a little bit more explanation the requirements so that we have a better appreciation of what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to comment on the PNF topic that it's not only SDNC. We want to be able to support PNFs in general in the architecture. And we know from discussions we've had recently with respect to the residential BCP use case that SO is currently not supporting PNFs. And again, it's not about orchestrating PNFs, because obviously PNFs don't need to be orchestrated, but there needs to be some correlation created between services that are orchestrated and existing PNFs. So first of all, I agree with Rimal, and maybe this is a very good example where nobody is going to propose to create another SO because it doesn't support PNF. Rather, let's make it support PNF. So
And that enhancement would be needed even for 5G, because 5G RAN could have some PNF. I most likely will have some PNF as well. So all the pieces were from STC to SO to controller. How do we ensure that we can support PNFs as well as VNFs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is good. This is where I want to go with the call and get a better understanding of what some of the key features are for the use cases. I think that from the meeting we had last month, plus some of these answers, we have a sense of where the key features are and what the key requirements are for enterprise VCPE. But I think we have less visibility into 5G the change management, some of the other features, some of the other use cases. I think that what I'm seeing as a pattern is more of a need for, in addition to PNFs, more of a need for multi-tenancy or network slicing. And then what I like to call, kind of telco grade functions, change management and resiliency beyond what we have in release one. Are there other features that people on the committee see that we should try to highlight and check with the use case committee if we have the right understanding?
So Chris, I want to ask you a question about your observation that you have less visibility on those two use cases. What can we do, or what can we ask those use case people to come and either present or share some document? What do we want to ensure that they have, you have the right visibility for those two use cases as well?
I think the first thing is if they want to do a presentation on the next, on the joint committee call, I think that would help. And then also providing answers to these questions. This is the joint architecture use case page on the wiki.
Okay. So we'll see what how much we can do for Thursday, but that's a good suggestion.
Okay. Great. And Vimal, I believe you're involved with 5G. Are there particular key features should be called out there?
Yeah, so the support for PNF, supporting the slicing that goes across multiple, means it's multiple network, network already exists. We have EPC, we have RAN, we have the transport. How do we create a slice And those are the two new features, but I think I can answer all these questions on multi-site support is yes, multi-domain support, yes, multinational support, probably not. So I can answer those questions for 5G use case.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that'll be helpful. I think we want to go as both the architecture subcommittee and the use case subcommittee is to identify some of the common elements and make sure that the platform will support those common elements so that as we add use cases, we're doing it in a consistent manner. We're building the platform, and then we're not just building to whatever the approved use case is for a particular release, but a generic set of capabilities that a service provider can use to build whatever use case they need internally.
Yeah, exactly. The use cases are used to really identify gaps in the platform, enhance the platform, and just demonstrate that it's doable. It's not I don't expect a 5G use case when we are done is something that is harder that any service provider can take it and go from that. They take use as a showcase or an example, enhance it to their need. But key idea is to identify gaps in the platform where we have some and that need to be addressed to make that use case viable.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then coming back to the architecture, being able to use those use cases and map it through the release to architecture that we're discussing, and make sure that the architecture will support the capabilities that are required. Or if we have to rethink something, we've identified the requirements as you mentioned, Vimal, and then we can make those adjustments.
Hey, good, Chris. This is Parviz. This is good. I wonder if we have a subset of these questions targeted for release one. I understand that you mentioned you don't want to tie this architecture requirement into a specific release. But in the interest of time for R1, do we have a short list of those questions for R1, target for R1, or that is not an issue?
At this point, it's really too late to influence R1. We're weeks away from the code freeze. Everybody has their plan of record, and we're driving forward to that. We'll do the best that we can, to catch up in the future. But I think we really need to focus on what's going on for R2.
Okay. So for SDNC, for SDNC question, of course, we take it. I'll bring this up at the next SDNC meeting, because my understanding is that the SDNC and the third-party controller, they exchange some parameters, whether it's PNF or VNF, and then the third-party controller would basically support all the devices under its own footprint, because that is like the vendor's device versus the vendor's controller. Okay, that was my understanding. But
again, it depends. So we'd have used, if it's a like Yang or standard NetConf standard interface that provides the PNF, then SDNC can directly configure that and we can monitor. There's no need to have a intermediary in between. But we have to again see the requirements, say this particular, so what PNF we have in mind, what does it support? Does it support EMS or only CLI? Could it be an adapter be built within SDNC? That's why I said having the requirement would help us to say what are the gaps and what would it take to address those gaps. Or maybe the best solution is to pass the information to the third party controller and let it do it.
Yeah. Is that captured somewhere, Vimal, in your email or somewhere?
I have no, I'll try to capture this thing, SDNC, what we have done. It should be there in part of SDNC document, but if I'm not, I'll try to capture it.
Yes, that would really help, yeah.
Yeah.
And Parviz, from a process perspective, I believe that, or I see this as being iterative, that the architecture subcommittee and the use case subcommittee will work together essentially to come up with a set of requirements for R2 we'll make sure that they're supported within the architecture. And then when we start the planning process for R2, you know, towards the tail end of the release and then the beginning of, you know, if we release on the 16th of November, probably from that point through, you know, January, I will be working on the planning cycle. And we want to make sure that we have a plan for how to support those requirements. You know, if it goes to STNC, but if there's also a corresponding change that's needed for SO or for SDC or for other components, that we flag that and have it a comprehensive solution.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris, this is Raghu. When I look at these questions, one of my sources of confusion maybe are these relevant, some of these, are these relevant from an ONAP architecture, platform architecture perspective? So 1, 2, and 3, you can make a case for platform being able to support multiple instances of ONAP and therefore being able to federate, et cetera. But when I come to like number 4, networking features, how does it impact the platform? Well, it impacts the platform from the kind of data models it might have in its different components. For example, what data model is held in the SDNC versus what inventory model is held in the DCAE, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But why is that question relevant from a platform capability perspective? The platform should be able to consume any data model and therefore be able to generate appropriate APIs as the need arises from an implementation. But from a platform architecture perspective, why is that? Why are these different types of networking features even relevant? I could make it supersonic pigeons and it shouldn't matter, right? And so, so the struggle that I have, I just started participating in the 5G use case and having not participated in previous conversations in the ONAP development, I come at it probably with a blank slate in my mind, where when I see some of the activities, it seems to be not clear to me, at least. Maybe it's clear to you, and maybe that's why, maybe my questions could help rephrase some of these questions and could help guide some of the use case development. The use cases should, I like the last one, you know, generic elements where we should focus on. And I would love for the architecture committee to have a generic process flow through the architecture components that could be used as a template for enhancing the platform. And hopefully my question is clear, Chris, to you.
Sure. Raghu, I think the best way to answer this is short-term versus long-term. You know, long-term, I think that we're all going in the same direction. That we want the system to be model-driven and have the modeling essentially drive the development of the capabilities. That if you have a new capability in mind, you enhance the model and it pushes through the system. I think the easiest way to say it is we're not there yet. We are... have been talking about you know, the layered model for the architecture and how we can align that with the data models and get a better framework for the modeling just to support that. But we're not there today. We can make steps in that direction for R2, and then some of this may require you know, even more support longer term. you know, specific to your question about number four, you know, currently the system is not addressing the underlay networks. You know, we talked about PNFs earlier on this call. We are likely going to need to make some enhancements, you know, through the system in order to support that. So what we're trying to do is identify in the short term what some of those enhancements are, so we can make sure that in the next iteration of the architecture and the use cases, that we can come to a set of capabilities that we can mutually support. Does that make sense?
Chris, I would just add one thing. Basically, as we said before, the use cases, we use cases to identify gaps in our platform that need to be made to make it, not that that's not the end goal to implement each and every use case as a finished good, but to identify gaps or enhancement that we need in the platform that will allow us to have a rich variety of use cases to be implemented. And by having some different type of use cases, we try to find, do we have a gap? Let's demonstrate, how do we support PNF? How do we support slicing? How do we support analytics that goes across multiple network elements? That's the reason why we have use cases, to identify, are there gaps in the platform that we are building?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, yeah.
Hi, Chris, and this is Yuan Yue from the T. And here I have some ideas on point four. And I think that here it's described that we need two new components, PCE and NAI. I don't know who proposed it. It's the architecture subcommittee or the use case and subcommittee. My idea is that the use case subcommittee should not propose some new components. And the, you know, I think the use case subcommittee should propose what this use case needs and make it in detail. Otherwise, I think the architecture subcommittee can hardly and make any decisions on this. For example, and here it described path calculation and elements. That means the use case committee should describe this in such kind of language. That is, we need a functionality to automatically calculate a network path from the topologies, and it already have. And as I know, at this time, so we have such kind of gaps. In the SDNC component, and if I'm wrong, and please point out, as I know, at this time, so the SDNC does not to collect the topology of the networks. So here, I propose that the use case subcommittee should make it very clear what kind of scope of the topology and what kind of the path they want to calculate, include which kind of the when and connections. And they just and make sure all people from the project like PTL or the people in the architecture and subcommittee can understand what they need, then we can make this and we can find the gaps and also can make the decisions if we need some new components or we enhance some components we already have. And the other is that the NAI is where I think it's too high level request. I think the use case and subcommittee should describe, you know, what they want, what kind of artificial intelligence they want, and how they use it, and what kind of data they need, how they want to collect these data. Then I think the architecture and subcommittee can understand and these requests and find out the gaps and make decisions.
Yes, I agree with you. When they say we need two new components, called PCE and NAI. You're right, it's much harder to deal with it that way than HERA requirements. I have actually queued up topics for both of those for a future architecture call. I think what we want to do is get to the requirements, and then could they be solved, you know, as Vimal said, with the existing components, or do we need to make add new components, and why, and is this the best method, or is there a different way that would be better aligned? For now, I would say treat all these as requests or as a set of requirements from the use case subcommittee. That we definitely need to do more work to get them supported within the architecture. But I think at this point, if we look at this another way, we could say that Enterprise VCPE calls out that we need a way of doing path calculation, and then network adjustments with the what they call the network artificial intelligence, that if there's an outage or whatever, we would be able to readjust the architecture or readjust the network in real time.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Let me elaborate a little bit on this. As the previous speaker said, that the usage of NAI is rather at the high level. What I would really do from your subcommittee perspective is to split that into a number of targeted questions. For example, how the DCAE handles this, how the closed loop operation comes into the picture, and some other projects that are already defined in ONAP. So we break the question at a high level, NAI, into targeted question for each individual project. That's the way probably we should rephrase that. And then for PCE, that's an application. For example, for VoLTE use case, clearly for the WAN connectivity, we are already addressing that. Within the data center, I don't know if we need to worry about that, whether it's VoLTE or PCE. Maybe people that in the subcommittee, when they bring up the question like this, they should be more specific that do they really mean the WAN connectivity path calculation and path optimization and quality of service support and traffic prediction? Or they mean both WAN connectivity and the connectivity within the data center. Those are the specific targeted questions that would help for a future discussion with other projects.
I'm not sure who was speaking, but I'm wondering if there is any value in actually tying these questions to specific ONAP components. Because as we evolve the architecture, some components may become expand their scope in terms of function, others may disappear, who knows, right? But I think there's got to be some way of asking these questions or elaborations in a way that doesn't require them to point at a functional block with an ONAP.
That's a good point. That the architecture committee should be looking at the functional blocks, but what I think we want from the use case committee is the set of requirements. So I think going back to the use case committee and in this case the enterprise VCPE team and saying, can you break this down into more specific requirements so that we can do a more detailed mapping? I think that makes a lot of sense.
I agree, Chris.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's okay. Well, I guess you rephrased what I said, and that's what we need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Chris, is there a document or a set of slides that identifies the goalpost for each functional block where we want to be in release 2, release 3, release N, meaning Or are we sort of working in the blind in terms of hoping and praying that the use cases will identify the gaps and therefore naturally become the roadmap for those functional blocks?
We have been talking about this, Raghu, over several meetings, specifically targeting R2. Why don't we sync up offline? I'll show you some of this. And actually, I want to get your take on how this aligns with math. So let's take that as a separate conversation.
If you have a link to a page or a document, you can probably put it at the top of this and say, as use case committees, subcommittees answer, and they are trying to say, what technical debt have you identified in number 7? We could go and look at the document and say, SDNC has to be this 2 releases from now, and therefore here are the gaps as well.
Not SDNC, but this is what we need to be able to handle in terms of wide area network connectivity.
Perfect. Yeah, whatever. Something like that.
How we do it could be through SDNC. Who knows what we'll invent between now and release 3.
Correct.
Right. So we have a current state. What we've been working on over the last few months is the targeted R2 state, but we want to circle back with the use case committee to make sure that what we've been working on through the architecture committee actually aligns with the use cases for R2, so that, for example, they don't call out a capability that we don't support yet. Or vice versa, that we're putting a lot of focus into something that's not required for any of the use cases. So we're trying to do these joint calls to make sure that when we do converge on a set of use cases and on the target architecture for the next release, that they're synchronized.
Yeah, let's talk offline on some of that stuff. And another question on between number 5 and number 9, I could consider them to be same in the sense that it's talking about reuse of components. Mm-hmm. And number 9 is saying commonalities between the use cases. Is the intent to be about the reuse of the components, or was the intent different with 9?
It was to line up some of the priorities. If there were pieces that were common, or there were a set of common requirements through the system, that we made sure to target those first.
Hey, Chris. On question number five, I would avoid the discussions about APIs. I would again kind of focus maybe more on how do we deploy a particular use case, and then how do we care and feed it, how do we take care of it at runtime? If that can be described somehow in using some declarative form, say a Tosca template or something along those lines, then I think we would be in business. The interfaces required to orchestrate all this, that's something that we can decide based on the architecture again, because if we've got microservices, for example, the APIs might be self-evident over time. Really of no consequence to how you assemble, a use case X versus a use case Y.
Alex's point, I like the generality that he talks about. I would have expected the architecture subcommittee to say to the have a line in the sand that say, I have a network that has a set of one or more VNFs and a set of one or more PNFs. Tell me what the platform's capabilities ought to be in order to realize this. I don't care what the VNF is. I don't care what the PNF is. It has some boatloads of objects that need to be managed for its state, and it's, as Alex said, over the life cycle. Have a generic template that could have been used to build the capabilities in all dimensions, as opposed to a VCPE versus a RAN deployment. Those are flavors with additional enhancements maybe, but at the end of the day, you know, we could have made life so much more easier with a very generic view.
Well, that's, we hope to get to that view. Right?
Yeah, that's where we're heading. We're just not there yet.
But I think lying in the sand is not a bad idea, though.
Yeah, what I'm trying to maybe struggle with, Chris and Alex, is that I feel I completely appreciate the intent of platform development, capability development, but seems like we are not all rowing in the same direction. Maybe all there are lots of discussions going on that are unique. And I have seen many times over duplications in various industry activities that I'm trying to see if we can have a line in the sand that says, hey, here is a simple view and here is the sandbox, have fun. And therefore the sandbox is bounded. And, you know, a Tusca template, deployment of a set of one or more VNFs and PNFs associated in some fashion. And maybe it's a slice in one instance, called slice in one instance, called VPN in another instance, it's called XYZ in another instance, but those are details.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this, Raghu. Let's talk offline. I'd like to schedule you for an upcoming call, and I'd love to get you to do a presentation on some of this to help with the target architecture.
Sure. And I would need help from other folks like Alex on the call, because I'm just kind of brainstorming in real time right now. But
I can help you.
Great. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if the architecture subcommittee can provide nice, neat little sandboxes for the use case subcommittees, that'll be wonderful. I think we can row faster towards the end goals.
I think if we do something like that, then the question becomes, what additional Lego blocks are we missing in order to build up a use case, right?
Perfect.
So we can start by defining a few and then saying, what else do we need? You know, and then how we model the runtime behavior, for example, this NAI stuff, that to me is actually where the conversation needs to happen, because deploying is one thing, care and feeding at runtime is another. And that's a more complicated conversation.
At a high level, Chris and Alex, maybe you guys would agree that is the perception right that the architecture subcommittee kind of drives the whole activity across?
From the architecture perspective, now the use case subcommittee is working on what capabilities we want to show, and there's a tie to business reality and what do operators need in the short time. So the process that we set up, and we're just starting to work through it, this is our second joint meeting, is to have regular synchronization between the two subcommittees to make sure that the target architecture that we're working on will support the use cases and vice versa.
Super. Okay. Yeah.
There's another, another connection, Chris, that we kind of need to make. We just had a very vigorous modeling meeting before this one. Mm-hmm. I think there's got to be like a three-way connection there, right? I think the three pillars are the information models or models in general, the architecture, and the use cases. I think between those three, we can figure out how to build something coherent.
Is it possible to plan something for the September ONAP event? If people are going to be there from all three, then we could have a small working session there.
Yes, I believe so.
Perfect. Okay.
I'll follow up with Ala and Deng Hui and see if we can get that scheduled. We had already identified to do a joint use case architecture meeting, but we can see if we can get Deng Hui in as well. And add modeling.
Hey, Chris, this is Adolfo.
Hi, Adolfo.
Hi, I've been reading the questions and listening to the discussion, and one aspect that caught my eye was that the questions were asked in terms of features, but the answers we got from the use case was in terms of components.
Yes.
Very close implementation. I'll give you an example. The feature of traffic prediction. Well, it might be that AI is the answer, but it may not. So, and also, I think number 8 is a wonderful question that I'm struggling to understand the answer. I think it's a wonderful question in terms of setting the context for the value of the use cases. With that in mind, I would like to ask this question. Is the process, and I think you've made it very clear, which your objective is to get requirements from this conversation with the use case subcommittee, not necessarily implementation direction, but given that the requirements are extracted from these conversations, is the next step to identify potential projects that could take on those and turn them into components? Or is it to create new projects based on those set of requirements to support the use cases?
I think when we have the targets, you know, as Vimal mentioned earlier, I think it's best if we can reuse what's already existing, but we may find some gap that doesn't quite fit into to an existing project scope. And in that case, there may need to be a new team formed to support that. You know, given just the time involved for getting a new team up and running and then delivering value, if we can do this within the existing structure, I think that will help us move faster.
Great. And one suggestion, simple suggestion, I'm listening to Raghu's questions, which are very good, and he brings a very fresh perspective. Do you feel there's alignment on the understanding of what a use case, obviously a use case is well understood because there's a committee, but the context of a feature, of a capability, and from that a component, is that something that you feel there's alignment in the understanding across both teams, or would it be helpful to put something in as part of the discussion to say, this is what we understand as a feature, this is what we understand as the requirements, this is what we understand as capabilities?
Well, let me ask that question to Ala. Do you think there's a common understanding between the architecture subcommittee and the use case subcommittee in terms of what is a feature?
Ala, you might be on mute.
Let me unmute you. Ala, can you hear us?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Maybe this is a question that we need to ask in our joint meeting.
But I actually think it would be good to formalize the boundaries between different stages of what we're trying to do, right? In terms of the use cases and the outcome of the use cases, and how does that actually get translated into something new inside ONAP?
Mm-hmm.
So we do it. You guys know we do have a flow on the wiki, right? Between how use cases get handled between the architecture and the use case subcommittees and all.
Yeah, but that's good for release one.
No, that was not for release one. That was for release two. So if you don't like that flow, maybe we should fix it.
I think we should re-examine it. I'm not suggesting that it's bad, or I mean, I think there may be some changes that are needed to it.
Right.
And so Chris, this might be good. Means I haven't seen the flow, but maybe agreeing on the flow should be the first thing that we agree. That's how the information flows from use case to architecture to release planning.
Okay. Great. So why don't we queue that up then for the meeting this week and make sure that we talk through this as a joint committee.
Mm-hmm. any guideline we can provide to use cases, because I'm also to say, just like what we discuss about, please write the business case, write the requirement, and don't assume anything, how the implementation and architecture would evolve or change or any of those assumptions. Just give the needs and the requirement and where you think are the gaps in today, and what are something new we are trying to prove. And then architecture team can say, best thing to do this function A would be in this module, or we need something different.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But I think also that there is a need, and there have been discussions on this in the use case subcommittee. I think also here, you know, what is the right thing to do for R2? Should we continue in defining use cases similarly to what we did in R1, also for R2, such as enterprise VCP, such as SD-WAN, such as 5G? Mm-hmm. Or should we concentrate on missing capabilities or needed capabilities of the platform in order to be able to deliver these use cases as well as many others? The way that currently the use case subcommittee is putting its artifacts or its output is similarly to how it was in R1. Do we want to continue this way, or do we want to create a list of missing capabilities or needed capabilities?
Yeah, I think to comment on that, I think that's actually one of my concerns and observations too, right? I mean, when I look at the use cases, they still seem to be mainly driven by what people want to do, right? I mean, there's a business need for A, so let's define a use case for that, mm-hmm. rather than driven by what is a new feature the platform might actually need. Right. I mean,
but I don't think the use cases define that. I think that's the thing that, from an architectural perspective, you just derive from the use cases, right?
Yeah, but the idea of the use cases drive that, right?
And but you can't drive.
If the reason I'm bringing that up is it's amount of work question, right? We have a limited amount of resources, and if I want to enhance the platform, I want to pick use cases which have very little work on the actual, let's say, use case side, and nearly all of the work is on the platform side.
But the platform, right. You know, if we build a one-size-fits-all platform, which seems to be the direction we're headed, again, the amount of effort to instantiate use case A or B should be the same.
No, it's not. Because use case A might require, you know, very complicated VNFs with hardware and
layers. I get it. But at the end of the day, it boils down to building VMs and putting software inside them and making network connections.
Well, long term, you're right. But short term, we don't have all the capabilities that we would need. You know, one that we talked about earlier was the PNF support.
Sure.
So, you know, if we want to have PNF support as a capability for release 2, maybe we're not able to do all the PNFs, but we can only do a subset. So then you know, we look to the use case to help define what that subset is, understanding that you know, long term we want this more generic.
Well, and it's also just the amount of work, right? And I disagree with you that it's all the same work. It's not. I mean, on an architectural level, maybe. But if you are going down to the people which actually have to set it up, run the test scripts, do the automated testing, making sure that it actually works together, there's vastly different amounts of work for which can test the same platform capability in different use cases.
But do you agree that, you know, in terms of actual tasks or operations that need to be performed, we ought to be able to look at some set of assembly instructions and be able to to deploy just about anything. Yes, you're right. The additional tests that need to be run, all sorts of other things need to be done. And maybe that happens, does that happen as part of the instantiation flow, or is that something that happens after? I don't know. But, you know, if you can automate all that, that's great, right? So I think there's a set of platform capabilities that are cross-cutting that we don't have, like, you know, physical network function support or other things like multi-tenancy. But then in terms of being built, for example, a 5G deployment, right, do we have everything we need to accomplish that? That may be a good question to ask.
Right, but I guess my point is, if let's pick one example. If you want to do multi-tenancy, I can have different use cases all doing multi-tenancy. And I agree with you, the recipe is the same, but one of those use cases is going to be much more simpler to integration test and automate.
Sure.
Of those use cases. And I just want to minimize the work and I have to do on that level so I can focus more on the platform feature development.
So, Oliver, one of the things that we noticed when we were working on use case was that there wasn't any new template to say this is how you write a use case. So we took the template from release one, and that probably wasn't the good idea. It would help to really put guideline to say use case should be documented using this template. These are the questions you need to answer. These are the things you need to avoid. Don't propose any architecture changes. Propose what business needs are, what requirements are, what functions you want, and architecture changes would be decided by the architecture. So if you have a new template with some guideline on how to prepare a use case and what is the goal of use case is to identify gaps or functions that you would like to see supported by the platform, that would be really helpful.
So why don't we start working on that through email? I'll start a thread after our meeting later today, and we can talk about you know, what we'd like to see from a use case template, so that essentially some of the questions that are being asked here can be displayed through the use cases and be a little bit easier to pull apart. You know, if there's a particular new feature or new platform capability that we're looking for, that it pops out at everybody.
Yeah, Oliver sent the link in the chat window for the use case subcommittee link. Thanks, Oliver. I just got looking through that. And there is a section on use case subcommittee flow in terms of, you know, how it is expected to sort of move through the discussion stages, if you will, in order to develop the use case. And it does say in number two, produces use case flow diagrams, provides its view on the foreseen modules or modifications, and suggests potential PNFs, VNFs. And you know, some of this may need to be cleaned up because...
That's exactly my point.
Right. And the thing is, from an ONAP platform perspective, and I really don't need to worry about the variety of VNFs. I want to be able to say, here is the VNF model, and I want to manage the life cycle of that VNF. And as Alex said, you know, the whole state management. So, it'll be great if we can intersect the architecture committee's requirements on these numbers, right? If you can say, number one, no involvement with architecture, but number two, wait a second, there is an architecture impact.
I think it would be good if we cleaned this flow up. I think it would help everybody involved if we had a well-defined flow of how a use case is kind of carried through the committees and projects. And so I think, you know, I think that would be something, maybe we should do it in email too, but to clean this up and everything actually be complete would be really, really useful.
And Chris is going to start the template to say this, to give a template to the use case developer to say this is what you need to capture in your use case.
I mean, we've already been changing the flow, and essentially the architecture committee involvement is now starting between two and three, and that's the joint meetings that we've been having. But I think that we need to document this a little bit more cleanly for sure. So I will queue that up so that we can have time to think about this a little bit more and make some concrete suggestions and then present it back to the use case committee during the joint meeting. And I've captured that as an action item. So expect email from me at least to start the conversation later today. Great. Let's see. So I think we've identified quite a number of things that we want to bring up during our joint meeting. We want more completeness on the list of questions that we sent last time. Also clarification on some of the requirements from the use cases. Instead of asking for a new module, rephrasing in terms of requirements. And then also updates to the template and to the flow. I think that's going to be a fairly comprehensive call. Are there other things that we should be bringing up during our joint meeting or other concerns that people have?
Yeah, I would like, so we've been talking about, and specifically I think Prabhu has been talking about this today, you know, that everything starts from the modeling. And if we had the right model, then you know everything is supposed to go smoothly thereafter. Mm-hmm. Which of course we know we're not there yet, but we do want to have the model be you know take a central position in the architecture. And I wonder if we need regular meetings also with the modeling subcommittee.
That's what I was. Yes,
we raised that.
We did.
I'll speak with Deng Hui offline and then see if we can get that started. Potentially a three-way meeting at the Paris Design Summit, Developer Summit.
Yeah, and it may come down to okay. Here are the things that we want to the model to support first, versus the other things that maybe we can wait with or which are harder. But I think we will need eventually when the model so in parallel to building the model right, we will need to help the projects in understanding what this model means to them. How it translates to work projects.
This is the discussion we kind of had in the modeling working group this or project meeting this morning, right? If you just unleash this on developers, nobody's going to do it, right? Because nobody's going to get it. So right. we have to do it the right way, right? We have to make sure everybody understands what we're at.
So maybe the work that has to come from the architecture subcommittee is you know the translation of the model to the various you know projects again at high level. Maybe then there can be a lower level that can be done within the projects, but at high level that interpretation of this is what the model means to each project. Perhaps should come from this subcommittee.
Well, we kind of have a look at what I'm not sure if Deng Hui is on the call, but he look at the minutes that got published today. I think you'll find some of what you're talking about already kind of starting to congeal. It's just happening without architecture subcommittee input to some extent. So we need.
Close the loop on that.
Should the architecture committee have some expectations on the output of the modeling work?
That's something that we've been working on is the layering strategy to make sure that we get that right, which will help drive the modeling. So I'd say it's work in progress at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Rego, this is something that maybe you and I can talk about as well.
The reason I ask is because, and Alex, you and Nigel and others might already have been discussing some of the stuff. The reason I'm asking this question is there is the individual functional blocks being modeled in such a way that functional entities can talk to each other at a high level, but then there are deeper level information that will be very use case specific that I don't think ONAP needs to worry about at this point in time. Maybe I'm wrong, but something like that, you know, I'll read the minutes and be up to date on that and we can talk offline.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is exactly right. There are different kinds of models, different layerings, I guess, where you can call them different model domains, right?
Correct.
And one of them has to do with use cases and how we define and describe all the little pieces that come together to instantiate something like a VCPE. But then there are other modeling domains we need to define as well, you're right.
And I get a sense that we are down in the weeds on models for specific use cases rather than the high-level model for what ONAP, maybe I'm wrong, but I need to read.
The way we did use case modeling in release one, it was more like defining writing down steps to build something, right, as opposed to describing the use case, right?
Correct. And if architecture, if this architecture committee can provide some, maybe I'm using the word sandbox loosely again, but some kind of a guidance.
Yeah, that's our intention.
Okay.
Let's talk offline. I'd like to catch you up, and then also I want to get some input about MEF. So let's talk about that offline.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
So, Chris, you were asking about other issues here. One
yes.
concern I have is that right now the plan is that we reach on this floor here number 5 by the face-to-face meeting, right? Which TSC approves the use cases for the next release, right?
Yes.
Do you think that's realistic? We have 20 days left. 20 days left.
This is something we need to bring up with the use case subcommittee in terms of how detailed it is. Ala did solicit some input from the TSC that we did give back a few weeks ago. I haven't seen the latest status for where the use case is. I think it's feasible that we at least have the high level identified by the face-to-face, but the more detailed work, from 6 down, that may extend through the rest of the release until we get to the planning cycle. So from a high level, do we pick 5G or VCPE or SD-WAN? I think we could probably get to that point by the end of the month. But to get to the ramification is how does that translate to the rest of the system? I think it's going to take longer.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris. This is the use case subcommittee flow. At some point, the architecture subcommittee should come in and where is that? Is this captured here?
Yes, I think
hi, Chris.
Hi, Ala. Yeah, this is good, actually. This Vimal was talking about the template. Maybe this is the guidelines to create a template in some sort. Now, the architecture subcommittee at some point should really have a sanity check to make sure that the individual projects, they are going to use all the features of the platform. And if there is a gap, the architecture subcommittee should identify the gap in terms of functionality and circle it back to this flow, yeah?
Yes, that's our responsibility to do before M2.
So it's not captured, no?
So the let's take this offline. You know, we already identified that we're going to make suggestions about the flow to clarify some of this about what's actually happening. You know, the as-built versus the design flow, and see if we can iterate on this. But let's take that to the email list.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and also it is important to, you know, to emphasize that although it is called use case subcommittee flow, but it is not only, of course, about use case subcommittee, just it, you know, shows the whole flow of the process, starting from bringing a new use cases proposal to the integration project work. But so perhaps the best way would be actually, you know, also on top of that, you know, to break it into a separate pieces and then extend each one of those pieces, because this one does not cover, you know, architecture subcommittee full flow. It only covers those points which are relevant for the interaction for use case subcommittee. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it would be good also, you know, to have a separate one for architecture subcommittee flow to extend on each one of those points. And sorry, I was not on the call earlier, so I was connected, but I had also conflict and another call, so I did not participate in the discussion before.
One clarification, Chris and Ala, is it's a catch-22 problem. The projects are contribution-driven, and at the end of the day, code talks. Now, do we expect that the architecture subcommittee should priority identify all the functional component and then the project should deliver the code based on that, or vice versa?
No, it's the other way around. This is not a top-down. Your architecture committee can't go to a project and say, you must implement this and expect that that's going to happen. What we have to do is make the case. You know, we've talked with the use case subcommittee. We've talked as a committee about how all the pieces fit together. We've talked about modeling. You know, we have a nice structure here. We think that is going to support the projects. It's going to make it easier for you to do your development work. And it's going to bring forward some of the key features that we need for this platform. So please consider these items in your backlog when you go through the next release. And then we'll check it, you know, like we just did around the M3 milestone. How are you doing with some of those key features? Are you calling them out? And what's the level of support?
But at some point, you know, the saying about the monkeys and the keyboards, right?
Yeah.
We can't have, you know, random acts of engineering happening on something right. like this. We're not building a bunch of web pages. We're building right. a very sophisticated right. distributed control system. So there's got to be some order with that. So some normative rules, you know, ought to apply in general, right?
Yeah, so this is really something that we do during the project planning phase up to the M1 milestone. And when teams come forward and say, this is our plan for M1, you know, we want to have the architecture in place so that we can do a comparison and say, how are you supporting you know, X or Y or Z requirement? Because we don't see it in here. You know, at some point it comes down to the TSC to make a decision. You know, if the project says we can't support this in R2, but it's in our plan for R3, you know, at some point the TSC is going to have to say that's good enough or no, refactor your plan before you join this release because we really need this exposed. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. Just like I said, I think at some point, even code talks and contributions will be made, but we also need to kind of watch that new contributions do not devalue or dilute the decisions that we're making here.
Yeah, agreed.
Hold on. That one is the TSC review process should take care of that, no?
Right. Going back to the architecture subcommittee charter, the architecture subcommittee is responsible for providing advice. In other words, we can't tell a project you have to do it this way. The TSC has that responsibility of the detailed review of the project plans and then approving the scope of a project for a particular release. Likely they're going to say, how does this support the use case? So make sure you've checked in with the use case subcommittee. How does this support the architecture? Make sure you checked in with the architecture subcommittee, et cetera. There's a feedback cycle here, and this is where the committees come in to support the projects. But at the end of the day, the project has to identify how they're going to implement these recommendations. How are you going to translate this into stories? And then how are you going to prioritize it in your release 2 plan?
Chris, I want to add just quickly a 3A and 3B sub-bullet, the interaction between the use case subcommittee with the architecture subcommittee and modeling subcommittee. So that should be captured under 3, I guess. We can take it from email.
Yeah, we'll take this to email. I'm going to send email around later today. And then please contribute there if we're missing anything.
Okay.
Great. Are there any additional topics that we haven't covered? We have some clear action items and I think some clear points for our meeting this week, and I will follow up with Ala offline. Anything else that we're missing that we want to call out on today's call? Otherwise, I'll end it a little early and give everybody back some extra time.
Thank you very much, Chris. I just wanted to mention that tomorrow we have a use case subcommittee meeting, which was supposed to be yesterday, but was moved to tomorrow due to holidays. And at least my objective will be to get to agreement on how we move forward with, release 2 use cases, whether, we move to platform capabilities and description and what we want to achieve in release 2 in terms of platform capability extension, basically by breaking those release 2 use cases proposal into those on the platform capabilities, or continue with the detailed form of expressing the use cases as we had in release 1 and as right now the proposals which are on the table show. So I hope we get to agreement tomorrow, and then we will be able to tell more on Thursday during our joint meeting.
Great. Thank you, Ala. So I'll email you offline following the meeting and provide some additional notes from today's call, and then we can sync up prior to our Thursday meeting.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
We will also dedicate some time tomorrow, to discuss some questions use case subcommittee might have for architecture subcommittee. I put that on agenda. And in case we will have those, I will distribute them tomorrow.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anything else? Any final topics or questions from the committee? Okay, I'm going to end this call a little early. Thanks everybody for your participation, and I'll give you back about 40 minutes in your day. We'll talk to everybody on Thursday, if not before.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.